Okay.
Mayor,
we'll get started. We want to make sure that Tom has good luck. So move it through this one.
In the room, just so you guys know who's here. Tammy, you start.
Tammy.
Doug.
Here. What?
Lisa.
Doug Bouse.
Lisa Wright.
David Wills, Fish and Wildlife Service.
Over here. Gary.
Yeah.
You ready?
No.
No? Okay. Gary's not ready.
Go ahead, start.
Trevor Conner, no.
And yes, Trevor. So that's our audience right now.
Okay.
We talked about the biological component here at FPALM, and I just went into some brief discussion regarding the results and the fact that we don't think that we want to continue testing biologically at this point. We have enough information. The biological tests went well, and
mechanically.
It went well mechanically.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
The process
went well.
The expected outcome wasn't.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Thanks.
And so, that's all right. We covered the biological fairly well. Everybody's had a chance to look at the data, and so now I just want to open it up for discussion.
What did we saw the biological data? What we were going to get a bit of information from the hydraulics on this as well, and I know that Gary Henry was working on that, and
he's on.
Gary, you're on?
Yeah, yep.
Well, what's your report?
We've been going through the data, and it looks like the TRD over towards the outside of the gate well did basically what we were looking for. In that the vertical sweeping velocities are more uniformly distributed across the gate well.
Okay.
It's not just high in the middle and low at the outside edges, but high at the outside edges as well. And the outward velocities were also minimized greatly. There's a lot less flow. I mean, as you'd expect, we filled in that volume, and the flow now flows parallel to it and not out into that volume.
More uniformly.
Yeah, more uniformly streamlined up the gate well.
Okay, so your assessment is that it appears that the TRDs did perform hydraulically as efficiently as?
As far as streamlining the flow up and keeping it from, basically does.
Okay. Well, I guess that's bad news.
It didn't work biologically.
If you said it didn't work biologically and we had a hydraulic issue as to why they weren't working as anticipated, I'd wonder. But it seems that they met the hydraulic idea. Didn't work biologically.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's the non-uniform flow that's killing this fish.
Right.
Velocity or something like that.
Exactly. And so, from my perspective, I think we need to move on to other alternatives, which you guys have been working on.
This is George. Just a quick point of clarification. What drove us down the path that we took, the hypothesis, was that because of perceived turbulence conditions in the gate well, we felt that it wasn't turbulence itself that was killing fish. It was the fact that, or the idea that fish were not finding the orifice, and as a result, basically died as a result of exhaustion.
But they weren't finding the orifice because of turbulence.
Well, the idea was that they were getting caught in these cycles, turbulent cycles.
Right.
That was the concept. The hypothesis that it's not definitive in terms of what's actually taking place in the gate wells at this point in time. But right. Gary's right. Hydraulically, data supports the premise that TRDs work. Biologically, we didn't get the results we anticipated. So what's next?
Right.
We could pursue additional alternatives, but there might be some hydraulic conditions in there that we might want to better understand before we select an alternative of choice.
Yeah, well, I think that the biological testing has shown that operating at the midpoint does,
or the low point, or
really, and the low points both work. I think we have a hydraulic condition that we should shoot for. If we can simulate that hydraulic condition, the gate well, at, while running the units at the upper end of 1%, then that ought to be our goal.
So you're thinking a flow control device for when you're at the
1%? A flow control device, whatever is the simplest to implement and the cheapest to implement, and then test that at the next go-around. And I, you know, we need to talk about what those are, but... And we recognize that we will probably reduce fish guidance efficiency by some amount, but that has been so variable over the years that I think that if you look at the variability against what we end up with in this thing, I don't know that you're going to have.
And if you make this device so it only operates at the 1%, you're only impacting your guidance when you're at the 1% above the midpoint of 1%.
That's true. It would. Well, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
So you could actually.
That's automatic, actually.
Yeah.
I think. You know what this thing would do would be to think about that for a second.
What you could do is you could have basically a black valve that you, when it's at this upper end point, it would have to kick on, and that way you'd basically reduce flow going up the gate well at 1%. So you'd only lose your guidance impacts at that upper end.
I don't know. I think about it. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Tom. Yeah. I'm not sure if it needs to be an active thing or if it actually would be passive. That when you're running at the midpoint,
well, you could.
It's just your porosity is just letting a certain amount of flow through.
Yeah, but what if you have some sort of like a valve, a gate, something that at high enough velocities it kicks open, so it basically bleeds off the excess water.
I don't think you have to do that.
Well, I'm just saying if you don't, if you want to have something that would maybe not have an impact on guidance overall through the whole range,
right?
Maybe
right.
Do something like that. If we don't think it's
right.
That big of an issue, but if we don't think it's that big of an issue, we want something super cheap and easy and quick. Then yeah, then we just
well,
put something.
I think
something,
if
then
you
we
set something up so that it restricts the amount of flow, as long as you can pass the amount of flow that you would normally pass through the VBS at mid range.
Yes.
But as you go up and more flow comes up the gate well, it still only passes that
yes.
Much flow through the gate well. Then it's kind of automatic, I think, that you're going to get some you know, the better. I mean, you're not going to get any more flow going up the gate well if there's a valve there.
Yeah.
If that valve only allows the amount of water through the VBS that would normally come up through the gate well under a normal mid-range operation, isn't it kind of automatic? I mean, as you go up, it's still only going to let that much water go through. Up uniform.
Hey, Gary, et al., I've asked Randy Lee to step in. He's joined us. The significance, of course, is that we're talking about other alternatives within the project, the B2FG project. So I think,
George, I don't think we really need to go there. I mean, for the discussion today, what we were going to go through was the biological data, the hydraulic data, and determine whether or not we wanted to continue going forward with the biological testing and gather more information. And I think the vote that I've heard so far is not to go ahead. I've heard that from the Corps of Engineers, and the folks around the table here agree with that. I think we've heard enough from you guys to say, you know, let's go on to whatever the next steps are. We probably don't need to talk about those today, but, you know, I would suggest a regular Fairwig, you know, ad hoc meeting to get set up to go through that. We've got time, I think. I mean, unless you have some contractual or some other issues that are driving you to move quicker on this.
No, I wanted Randy to be, basically I wanted Randy to hear the idea that we're going back to evaluating other alternatives.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to do.
You going to
Randy, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, have a happy Mother's Day, Tammy.
So,
I don't want to keep you guys from lunch, but I think we got our marching orders. I think that there's need to, we need to kind of clarify what that objective is between, over the next couple of weeks for sure, to make sure that we deliver what we agree to. So you're right, maybe at the next better wig, maybe perhaps we could set some time aside to discuss this in more detail.
When is that?
I don't know.
Tammy?
When's the next?
June 6th.
June 6th? Okay, yeah, that's coming up, so... George, that sounds good. Let's do that.
Do you guys envision possibly having some alternatives fleshed out, or do you at least have like some like a list of alternatives you're going to be looking at?
That's going to be a bummer.
They do.
There's a lot of.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys were going to like have it caved down, because we had that original list was fairly large. I was thinking, are you guys going to have like kind of a pre-selection, like saying these are the five we're going to be pursuing and that kind of stuff, or are we going back to square one, starting from scratch? I mean, what do you guys think you're going to be trying to be doing on June 6th?
Well, we're not going to go back to square one for sure.
I wasn't suggesting it.
But
let's see. I'll try. There was a lot of background chatter, but I think I heard. You know, we do have a list of alternatives that we have put into our alternative report, and so there is some. They do deal with things like flow control as an alternative. The gate spot fillers or the TRDs as they turn out to be as an alternative. So there are already a set of alternatives that are been out there, and so but we haven't picked any other alternatives to go for. And that's about all. That's kind of where we are with that report.
Hey, George, are you guys still considering pulling this work and the Orifice work in the one?
Yeah, that's still being considered, but obviously as a result of the field results, the field data that we've just received, we kind of want to think that through.
Okay.
More succinctly, let us kind of think about what our next step is going to be internally here. We're not quite sure yet.
Okay.
So rather than giving you a commitment right this very minute, let's talk about that a little bit more in detail on the 6th.
Okay, let's just make sure we have a chance to have some input on that.
Oh, no question. No question.
Forward. I did take a look at the 90%. Which that was the Gatewell one that just came out, right? So you guys do actually. And my only comment to John was that it didn't appear that you took our comments into consideration at writing 90%. So our comments on the 60% still stand for the 90%. I can send you an email to that regard. I sent that to John. I know you guys were going to. I'm not saying you didn't willingly ignore them. You just didn't have a chance to address them, and so fine. I just think that there's issues in there, such as two orifices per gate well and those sort of things that we just said we were not going to support. And I just don't want to keep talking about those. I want to move on to something that we have that we can implement that doesn't require a major redo of the bypass channel that we already have and know that works. And we're after something that's as inexpensive as we can make it and still gets the job done. So, but we also said in that in those comments that we were willing to take a hit in FGE if that was necessary to get survival up, which I think is important. And we can talk about FGE, better ways to get that FGE back if it's even necessary. I don't know that given the volatility of the fish guidance efficiency at that project over the last 30 years that you will even be able to measure a difference with reduction in flow up around two midpoints. But I don't know. That's something we have to test, certainly.
Okay.
The Bonneville project still hasn't, there's still issues there. We haven't met the performance standards to date. There are things that probably are going to need to be done. And what you guys are working on is, I think, really important and a part of that future work that needs to be done to get Bonneville up to snuff. So, along with the spillway work that Lori's working on.
Okay, so let's regroup and we'll take this back up on the 6th of May.
Okay, George, thank you.
Okay. Okay, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, good talk.
Thanks.
Portland District
has left the conference.
Big button on the left hand side.
I don't want to start over, but I want to make sure that they give that to VBS idea something that is due consideration, John. That parallel, I just really think that there's a chance there.
One thing I told him is, I said, you know, we've been working this process, and things have changed since the 16%. We've talked about the use of the backer screen, and maybe it's not as necessary.
No, I'm willing to give up
more
on that
real estate for these alternatives.
You know, it's just a matter of, we just have to explore all the things, and, you know, you think about it. That back BBS, it could act like a backer screen.
I mean, you pull the front one out of Selena, it's still there. Just put the other one, put that one down, and pull it back, and if there's anything else to do.
If they can design it so that they can be done that way, and then slide, when they slide back in, they get the right porosity.
Exactly.
You know, maybe there's indicator points or something, but really it's basically, I'm thinking offset ports.
Yes.
Slide past each other.
So the thing is, though, how are you going to adjust that?
I think it has to be set in maybe a model, or set in theoretically, or whatever, tested. And then when the VBSs are set in the slot, they automatically line up properly. You know, they may have to be balanced.
Well, you just raise one, like a couple of millimeters to offset that, because your gap's so small already, right? Don't you have a tiny gap in the VBS? I mean, aren't the screen mesh size? How big is that?
It's tiny. This would have to be something different. They're profile bars, and they blow out. They're right currently. Now, this would have to be something completely different.
It's basically a total redesign.
Probably a profile bar up front, and then some porosity holes inside. It's going to be kind of a sandwiched idea, I think. So maybe doing that backer thing may not work. But you know, I'm not that worried about that. If they just pull them out and put them back in, it's a short process.
Yeah. Well, especially if we, like, you do it right. You turn the unit off, let the fish go through, pull it out. What few fish are still in there, you lose them, but...
Yep, they're going through the turbine.
As long as you give them adequate time to run out.
I mean, if you're balancing, you know, debris management, you know, with all the other gate walls that you have to address, and the speed at which you can address them with just letting the few fish in there go through, I mean, I think you're better off moving through real quick.
Yeah, I mean, because you get that point in debris when it's like you're getting 20% descaling.
Right.
Well, here's a question on that. I mean, what would be the problem with just going back to the way it was? Modifying everything. I mean, you said the FGE was really variable. So.
It was, yeah. Yeah,
it's probably more expensive to rip everything out.
From those days, we did gain quite a bit.
You know, the thing is, though, if you wanted concrete, maybe that's the test. Because I mean, it's a flow vein and a gap closure device. Maybe say
the concrete.
The concrete, you leave that, but maybe you got the flow device.
Yeah. The flow vein. The veins, you know, that's something that's been talked about too. That's a simple thing to modify.
Yeah, Lori thinks that we have old information. You know, as we made the jump to where we are now, something that might be less efficient hydraulically that we could look at. Mm-hmm. And so might be some of that old information is going to be part of this process.
That could be as simple as adjusting that flow vein. I mean, that's big chunk of steel to change, but
and you have to change a lot of them. But
you have to change a bunch of them, but it's still just—it's not like concrete and steel.
And the flow vein drops in, so it's out.
Yeah,
you guys actually take it out at the end of the screen. You take the screens out. Don't you?
Well, I thought it was in the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, it's part of the screen. So that's what I'm saying.
It's pretty easy.
So you're going to have all the off-season to putz with.
Yeah. Take our grinders off.
Like they've got nothing else to do there.
Actually, Bonneville, we're getting to the point where they're out much.
But I mean, if you could figure out a way to modify that, if you thought it would work, you know, it's something that you could have a contractor come and do it on the deck, drop it in, and then test it.
So do you have a physical? Do you have a physical?
What I wish you guys would do is build a physical model of this thing.
I know.
Over and over and over again. We keep ending up in
a real physical model, not just a sectional where it's
a sectional and a piece of.
You know, I told the BBT, I said, we need a scroll case. We need 1 to 12 with all the hydraulic influences that create this stuff in the gateway.
Yeah, because the four bay is important in that too. So you need to be able to adjust the louvers or something, how the flow hits the face of the intakes. Then you need to be able to adjust that for different.
Yeah, just to see what happens.
Different units.
Because, you know, we know units 14 and 15 have the straightest flow.
Yep.
And the other ones on the ends,
tangential. And you can adjust that with how you build the model. I mean, that's not hard.
But that's going to put us later down the road.
Yeah.
The CFD model was
apparently successful at predicting what we would see with these TRDs. It wasn't, not biologically, but at least flow-wise.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that.
Well, they say that, but...
I didn't hear a lot of confidence behind that.
I didn't either.
But just assuming that he's telling truth.
Or not.
Why could we do that flow control device and model a change to that such that it results in a gateway environment that's similar to the mid-range? The same flow, model that, and then modify
that's exactly,
to,
yeah,
to
exactly.
that point.
Yeah.
And that
could be the question. Like, what happens if you do like modify the flow bin so the most flow can go up there would be the same amount of flow that goes up there at the midpoint?
Yeah.
So, but then you basically, and then what you do is you run those units now at the upper end of 1%.
Right.
Right. That would be the biggest piss because, like, damn, we're stuck at the 1%.
Well, the.
Operating.
VPA could be a little irritating because then what we'd want them to do, obviously, to try to keep our FG benefits as good as we can have.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd want to run that at the upper end of 1%.
I think we're losing. I think there's a point of diminishing returns with unit operation. And we know at the low end, our recapture rates are high.
Yeah.
Our survival is high. Gatewell residence time doesn't seem, you know, that last test. I mean, those fish were in there for a long time and survival was very high. But
we used to allow them to sit there for 48 hours with STSs. So I'm not worried about that per se.
You know, our putting flow up into the gatewell while we think that, you know, we're going to guide more fish and more fish are going to go into the gatewell, our recapture rates, and this goes back to 2008, 2009, as you know, unit flow is high, our recapture rates are poor.
Yeah,
and this year was so clean, you know, in the gate wells that, you know, the fish that were found in the gate wells, I'm skeptical that, you know, we're guiding all those in, and I think we might be losing them around the screen.
Well, we have to see because that was part of the reason we put the gap closure device in, because for the longest time we thought, hey, it's not the screens are guiding a bunch of fish.
Well, there's the initial point on the screen didn't change, and so we did figure that was going to be fish shouldn't go under it. But
you look at the CFD modeling, you look at the intensities of flow underneath the screen, through the gap, and who knows what's going on a little bit of the edges, but as flow hits that screen, is there some kind of cushion or some kind of resistance there?
There will be some.
Might have fish change behavior and go off.
That's what the stagnation point is all about. Where that flow goes under the screen.
Or reverses.
Somewhere up, it's 3 or 4 feet from the screen, from the bottom.
Yeah.
And as the...
Where no return.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole flow goes under
instead of going up.
I really want to see this ENNL data mining.
Those fish aren't going to go... If they're heading up that screen, they're not going to turn around and go out. They're gone.
Where did he release his fish? In the gate well, right?
Well, yeah.
In front.
No, the release point is on the trash rack.
Oh, okay.
The release point is pretty high on the trash rack. It's kind of up near the ceiling.
Because they wanted it high on the screen.
Yeah.
So you didn't lose
but
all the fish.
You see how many fish were recaptured.
Oh, yeah.
There's problems with that, John, because those are Spring Creek fish. They're naive fish. They're not that strong a fish. They're small. They shouldn't. They're not going to swim out of there. They should be
where are they? Well,
that's
where
the way
maybe they're not
they're
swimming
just stuck
out
in
there.
The gate. Well, they just rot.
Maybe we're not seeing them on the screens though when we pull them up.
Well, I heard we did see some.
We did see some.
Well, he's only releasing 200 fish,
but it wasn't enough to account for all the loss of these missing fish. Like we did see in 2008, 2009 when we had debris in the river. This is very clean.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we had debris in the river, you know, those fish were stuck and there was a lot of fish.
Those fish should have been in there.
Yeah.
Where did they go?
There's more together.
I'm skeptical of the guidance and the ENNL data mining exercise where we, you know, look at, you know, STS is out versus in and where these fish go, unit.
This is where the unit versus model that you're talking about.
Yeah.
This row cases and with the 4-bay model appropriately would be very useful because then you can start looking at flow lines. And, I mean, we did a lot of that back when we did have the general model from Bonneville, but that's all long gone.
Yeah,
but you know, our JSATS information shows very poor guidance. And while we were collecting all this information, all these high flow years, we're running those units hot the whole time.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know, going back to the FGE studies, you know, those were normal flow years where, you know, we had Ditson cameras, we had the fike nets, you know, things like that.
So
but they didn't prescribe a, you know, run the unit at 18
K. So you're thinking as we back off on unit flow, we may actually improve
that. Yes.
But that's the thing that makes no sense, is that?
I know.
Why a high flow? Because at high flow, you think the signature point should go high.
Right. Well, it does. It's a stagnation point.
You put more water into the gate well.
You do, and the stagnation point moves up.
It's just past the point of diminishing returns, and the flow going through the turbine, you overpowers the flow that you're getting through the gate well.
Something like that. Something's going on.
This goes back a whole generation of physiologists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, before you guys, and almost before me, as the whole group of people who worked on FGE, it ended up with where we are today, which... I mean, they looked at all that stuff.
I'm so blaming you.
But they did. I think I'm going to go back to those guidance studies. But I'm pretty sure they did those guidance tests with automatic governor control, and those units were running at 15.5 k.
But yeah, I'm just thinking of how they
were, or 12.5.
The angles of the screens. I mean, there were 20 years of research.
But yeah, running the unit hot.
That's using the video. Well, they're using the video monitoring of it later. No, what is it? Mike Sheehy, those guys.
Yeah.
Deep brain.
I just wonder about that, about running those units hot. I don't know.
Yeah. The hotter you run them, the more that stagnation point moves up.
Yeah.
But sometimes more flow goes under.
I mean, we're going to have to run them hot. Oh, most definitely.
We're doing a test at bottom.
We're going to have to run them.
Well, that deals with FGE, but not injury.
That's correct.
So, when we had the old gate wells with about 200 CFS going up there, things were fine.
Right.
When you run them at the midpoint or lower and have about 200 CFS going up there, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Right. No, it just keeps coming back to that. That's where we need to be.
That's the low end is the target. Is the
mid
goal.
To lower.
This seems
mid to low.
It's pretty simple. Goal. I mean, if we need a flow control device that mimics the gate well conditions that we have at midpoint, that we had back on the old plants, yet gives us ability to run those units at upper end. And that would be best for
whether you modify the current one or make a new one, just kind of
however you want to get at it. Yeah, that's the
cheapest way possible.
What's the cheapest, most effective way to get it done?
And we'll take any hit.
Are you bloating?
Not yet.
You will be.
17 million.
17 million we spent on this shit.
I know.
How about 20?
It was 17. Yeah, it was with the TRDs, it's more.
Tom was against every step.
We'll get that money back in scrap, though.
I know.
That's
right.
You're going to make out like bandits for scrap. That's
that
a ton of scrap.
Yeah. I've gone back to the off-state in 2004, which is as far back as I can get 5-minute data.
Yeah.
But in 2004, we had mortality rates regularly less than 1% of the SMF. And there were days when it was 2%. Mm-hmm. But I looked at those elevated days in operations, and they didn't necessarily coincide with high unit offs, which leads me to believe it might have been debris related or release of hatchery fish or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then there were days where we had high unit offs, 18K. They were very limited back then because of a normal flow year, but
four was a low.
When they were running 18K through units back then, we had, half a percent mortality down at the SMF.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, that was the biggest concern. It was like, that was the whole module idea. It was like, you increase flow up there, stagnation point gets lower, we'll get more fish. Yeah. Unfortunately,
our flow up the slot.
Yeah, that was what we spent all the time money on.
Yeah, the only thing we ever saw a lot of problems with in the old days was sockeye.
Yep.
And they would get hit going through that system no matter what.
Yeah.
And they still do.
But at the midpoint, they're definitely, it's not here.
The first one?
Yeah, you put in the one point now, it's like,
And they were never the test fish either.
No.
Back then, we didn't have to.
We didn't have to.
Yeah.
All right, we got a solution.
I think we have,
a hydraulic and biological metric.
Yeah.
This is what we should strive for.
We've said all this before back when we started this program.
Yeah. Who took us on the road to the TRDs? Was that?
The Schwartz.
Dennis?
Yeah, and the power of
Schwartz. That had so much momentum when I came along.
Well, Dennis was part of it, but it wasn't just Dennis. And George pushed pretty hard on the stuff. Uh-huh. And the team pushed pretty hard on it.
We can solve it quick and easy.
I said the whole way through it that those TRDs were not going to work.
Well, we told them they had parallel tracked it. And unfortunately, they're not really parallel tracked it.
No, it never really did. And so what I'm afraid of, I still am afraid that, listen to George, that he's going to want to go back to something, some you know, child of the TRD is how that would be.
third
child's.
Like the
children of the thirds. Turd two. Turd two, yeah. Turd junior. And that's what I really want to guard against. I want to just dive straight into alternatives.
Yeah, well, that's the message that I'll be carrying.
But what I don't want to do is go into, you know, double orifices. I know Lyle likes that, but I don't want to change the collection channel.
Double orifices is
great, but yeah, we can't do it.
Double orifices won't even be discussed.
We can do it for two or three units.
It's in your 90%.
I know. That's why I brought the question, like, are you guys going to come with a list of alternatives you want to proceed, or are you guys going to be, because, I mean, that list of alternatives they were going to proceed had some ones in there were going, why are we even looking at this?
Right.
So that's the only thing I'm looking for is, like, let's not, I don't want to be so far basically ground one, but I also don't want to be so far that we're ignoring stuff that we're all going, that looks like that should be something we need to keep on the table.
Yeah.
That's something I'm worried, is that George's going to take the list and grab the top three and say,
yeah, here we go. Yeah, well, that's what the report says. I mean, I look at the top ones and I say, well, wait, we don't support any of those.
I know, that's
so
what I mean,
that's why the reports was pretty just, you know,
yeah,
discouraging.
Yeah, that shouldn't be written like that.
Yeah, it just was like, well, it's just kind of, you know, I don't even know if it changed.
That's why I asked the question. It's like, what are you going to do?
Slightly recooked. And then,
you know, all the business end of things and, you know, the need to, you know, move through these EDRs, I don't know.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, we just don't want to end up with a 100% that says something that none of us
support.
TRDs, hey, they worked! Wait, how did we get there again? Damn it.
Well, the project's going to be revolt on that as well, so that's going to happen.
Orvis Lightrings, where are we at with that? Because that was sounding pretty cool.
Orvis Lightrings?
They died.
Well, that EDR has been sitting because
we're waiting for TRDs.
You know, waiting for
Well, that's why I was saying.
It seems like Orvis Lightrings could go on.
Don't forget they're talking about maybe doing an expanded Lightrings. Do we expand Orvis?
We talked about that last.
This thing, I think these are 12.
TNNL, we had to create a Lightring that we could test or look at. And, you know, discussion since then has been, you know, we've got better technology, you know, we've got other things that we can look at as far as implementing a light ring. It's something much more low profile, smaller.
Yeah. Well, you know, Walla Walla with Granite's going with
LEDs
going through
the LED or
fiber optic.
Yeah.
Those LED and fiber optic, I believe, or something along those lines anyway. So, but it was fiber optic,
So, you know, as you
the delivery into
this thing, you move along here and you sit on a, you know, an EDR like the Orvis Lights, and your plan is to integrate that into the FGE program. Other technologies, other investigations are occurring while you're sitting there, and then you get that information, you think, oh man.
Excellent.
We need to go back to the
16 Orvis
Lights and the
computer.
You know, I used to think they should be integrated. Now I'm thinking, no, they shouldn't be.
Are you? Okay.
Integrated makes sense, but I'm afraid it's going to delay stuff.
It does make sense, but
it's going to delay stuff.
The hydraulics in the gate well and the technology and light rings and what we could do there. I mean, I was strongly in support of integrating these things. I pushed for it because they're all related, but now I'm backing off on that.
Well, as long as it doesn't resolve the other.
Yeah, as long as we don't go to a bigger orifice. If that issue's finally dead and done, then the light rings make a lot of sense. That's the only reason I was
back on that. I mean, that would mean redoing the entire production channel again. All that stuff was spent $50 million.
$65 million.
But there is other issues with the orifice, like injecting air into them and all that stuff.
Well, and the thing I was kind of landed back on is just give us a way to it.
Hopefully we'll be talking to
you. No, we will. I know we will. Wednesday.
Just hope the flow stays low.
Yeah.
You got to buy the whole thing, Doug, not parts.
Cookie cutter, man. Focus. We're surgical. You just take the pieces you can and run. Ignore all the rest of the big picture issues. Focus. Take the pieces you need.
You don't have line item veto.
We'll race this part, but we'll just do these parts.
We're not at the buffet.
I know. I knew you'd say that, but...
No buffet. This is the dinner menu.
Russ would kind of slim
you out.
If you have any crazy
I don't have
an actual house on.
Yeah.
I just feel like
But I think we'll be that whole thing. Like, can we just take the bop and
maybe not done?
Like, no.
Just so you guys are aware,
significant other's
lot of attention. This is more of an SRWG comment, but you know, I we presented a TSP-1 data last meeting regarding the biological testing, Firehouse 1, Firehouse 2. I still I've been trying to rework that, refine the stuff in that one pager. And I want to send it out hopefully early next week.
Okay.
But I've separated, you know, Powerhouse 1 versus Powerhouse 2. I don't think that we need a biological test Powerhouse 2. I think that, you know, as far as... Well, here's my reasoning why.
Okay.
I think that, you know, this BOP issue... You know, significant enough among the regional fish managers that, you know, maybe we should biological test it. You know, people have said we need a biological test. So if we have sensor fish and a turbine model and a feed analysis, and we have all the other information in the TSP BIT report, and then we go in and we validate the recommendations and the assumptions, you know, based on this data. You know, with a biological test at Powerhouse 1, if it turns out that it, like, you know, matches really well, then at Powerhouse 2, now there's more of a management decision to make there, and that's operating out of 1% efficiency rate. Powerhouse 2, it's not as significant. And so, you know, down the road, eventually we're going to have a feed analysis of Powerhouse 2, sensor fish, all that kind of stuff. The only thing we would be missing at that point would be a biological test. And so if it works at Powerhouse 1 and it matches what we've done over there, would people be willing to say, we can make a management decision about Powerhouse 2 based on model work?
If it was pretty clear that you were just lucky.
Well, look at a couple of things come to my mind.
Okay.
The engineers were all sure the turrets were going to work.
I wasn't.
I said the engineer.
Are you an engineer?
Hey.
I'm a biologist.
Ed and I both stop.
Right. So, the biological test proved it may have helped some flow, but it didn't alleviate the problem.
Yeah.
So you've always got to... You should always biologically test.
Always ground fish.
Ground
fish. Okay.
Especially something. Powerhouse 1 is very different from Powerhouse 2.
Yes,
scroll case, draft tubes. Just because it works at Powerhouse 1 doesn't mean it's going to work at Powerhouse 2.
Well, I guess my thinking is, now, for the one pager, I'm leaving both in there, you know, for regional discussion. However, we don't have a feed analysis for Powerhouse 2, so I think it's premature.
Well, they were working on it, weren't they?
Yeah, but they're busy down there. And we don't have... So here's the thing. When we do a feed analysis at Powerhouse 2, what do we need to do with sensor fish? We need to validate the feed data by releasing sensor fish at the same place the beads are. So we get tip of the blade, mid blade, and above data with sensor fish.
Okay.
So that, I mean, that's all. Who knows how far into the future?
They did that. Was that a Powerhouse 1 that they did that?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And we need better sensor fish data, I think, to validate some of that model work at G1. But I guess what I'm saying is, we have all these tools that we're using to get to. I would say biological test is the last thing we should do.
Yeah, and that works.
Well, there's also performance standard testing that's going to be going on at some point again. So, possible.
But regardless, you know, TSP, it gives us a lot of information about turbine passage. But are we ever going to limit the lower end of the 1% efficiency range at Powerhouse 2? There's no way BPA or the powers that be will. You can't. You know, you need to have system stability and that flexibility there. So, but Powerhouse 1 is different. Because we're looking at, you know, what's best for fish. And eliminating that range at the lower end, you know, the low end of the peak, you know, we've all talked about that.
Yeah, but then we moved it up in the upper end. Not necessarily you could run fewer units at the upper end. No, advice is having all your units running at the lower end.
Okay.
Hey, Tom?
Yep.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I guess this. Eliminating the lower is only 300 CFS. It's not that much. And TSP is not only are they looking to, you know, try to give us information for the best turbine operation, but we also want information for the worst and where not to operate.
Well,
yeah. And so
some of that's already been decided for Powerhouse 2. That report that we got after our trip last year, you sent out the
The biological index testing report?
Yeah. On Powerhouse 2, supposedly, according to that document, they don't run it over 76 megawatts, which is within the 1% band. They don't run it over that because it says that screws up the turbine.
Yeah, the 76, yeah, a certain head, a high head, the generator is the limiting factor.
Right.
And the 1% efficiency curve is actually beyond the generator limit.
Right.
Okay.
So they stop at the generator limit.
Right.
Which is why a high head might only be putting 15 to 80 through the unit.
Right, right. So how can we even run them outside of 1%?
You have to have low head.
But how often does that happen?
It's rare. You'll never run outside of 1%.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you could. You know, if you have a lot of flow in the river, you can put 20,000.
Okay. Well, yeah. Just let us know when.
But it's going to be pretty rare. That's why I think the management decision is more applicable at Powerhouse 1. You know, I'm fine if people are not willing to, you know, use sensorfish and the model work to make the management decision at Powerhouse 2, and we won't put fish through it. That's great. I'm just wondering, is it necessary? And for the purpose of this one page,
biological test,
I think the Powerhouse 2 biological test is premature.
The assumptions of the BIT and all that.
Powerhouse 1, not so much.
John's saying that if we have our BIT and our sensor fish data for Powerhouse 1 and we go through and we do a biological test and it confirms what we saw with all of our testing,
all the work done over there.
As long as you do your BIT testing and sensor fish testing at Powerhouse 2, you shouldn't need to do a biological test at Powerhouse 2 because you've already confirmed that you're on with your assumptions. He kind of ran that by us. Dave said that sure kind of has issues with that.
Any biological test? So then, do you make your management decisions based on the model work?
Gary, because you have to convince the region.
That's what it is. It's a region. It's convincing the region.
You've seen it, but you need to show these guys.
Other people don't agree, and so the only way you're going to show them is to show them with biological information and just seal the deal. Once you do that, you might be off.
Put a lot of fish out.
You work with a bit of a benefit to fish.
Yeah, I don't think it will be. I think you'll see you won't be able to tell the difference.
Is this going to be a direct release?
Well, that's the thing. You know, when it comes to methodology, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's important. I will not support a river running into fish somewhere up the river. I will never support it.
So direct release.
For something
or a canister or something like that.
But if you do that, how do you depth acclimate them?
Yeah.
You know, because you get the pressure. And if you can't depth acclimate them, then why bother?
I would anticipate pressure being a problem in the first place.
But do other people? To regional.
If they want to have that discussion, then we'll have the discussion with the pressures in front of us to look at. But I doubt that we are ever below 10 psi in any of the regions. So, you know, unless we go to an operation that was way high, then maybe we would start to bump into some pressures and lower meters that are a problem. So, why are we doing it?
Well, this slipped by me, okay? I'll be honest with you, it did.
I was busy.
Should we pull it? Is it even worth discussing? Is it just a waste of time to discuss it in an SRWP
The one major?
Yeah.
We'll get to it in June. I'll say I disagree.
No priority.
We've got something to hit the bottom of the